Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer, and today I'm joined with several members of our SMA News Today team. First off is Michael Morale. Michael, how are you today?
Doing great, Kevin. How about you?
Doing great. Excited to be here. And we also have with us Deanne Runge, vlogger and forums moderator. Deanne, how are you today?
Hi there. I'm good.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we have a really exciting discussion for you all today. So today we're going to be talking about technologies that impact our lives and make it easier for us to be independent. So I think we've got a lot of good things to talk about and really excited for this. So before we get started, if everyone could take a moment and please listen to this brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Genentech, the makers of a new FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
All right. Well, thank you. So to get started, Michael, why don't we start with you? So when you think about the technologies that have the biggest impact on your life and make it easier for you to be more independent, what's one thing that comes to mind?
You know, Kevin, it's almost odd that we start thinking about technology, or at least for me, I start thinking about technology whenever I can't do something for myself. Instead of having somebody help me or asking someone to do something for me, I look to technology to try to solve this problem. And one of the things that I'm faced with right now is that I'm in the process of purchasing a new electric wheelchair. And so I started thinking about all the technology changes that have happened over the course of my life, and I'll be 55 years old in August. And I remember my first manual wheelchair whenever I was probably 2 or 3 years old, and then getting my first electric wheelchair when I just graduated from junior high and I was going to go into high school. So my parents got me my first electric wheelchair, and I started thinking about how technology has changed over the course of years. And so, you know, my first electric wheelchair was an Everest and Jennings P3. And if you watch the movie Crip Camp, they actually showed a few people sitting in these wheelchairs. And it was really odd because it brought back a lot of memories. I remember when I first got the chair, I wanted to do something that I'd wanted to do for a long time, and that's to just go to the mall without having someone push me, without having to be reliant on somebody else. And so I remember I got my wheelchair that first week, and on Saturday, my father took me up to a local mall that's here in the Dallas area, and he took me up there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he did not pick me up until 8 o'clock that evening. I spent the entire day by myself, rolling around, tasting what freedom was like. And it was exhilarating. It was uplifting. It was like somebody took the anchor off of my life. I didn't have to depend on somebody. And so now that I'm looking at getting my next electric wheelchair, and I've gone through several, you know, other styles of chairs over the course of the years, but typically the chair included, you know, two motors, four wheels, and a joystick. You know, there was no other technology that was available. So the new chair that I'm getting can connect to the internet. It's got Bluetooth capabilities. You can charge your cell phone or your iPad because it's got a USB connection. You can use the joystick as the mouse to run your computer. There's so many things. It'll lay back. It'll recline. The legs will lift up. So all of these new technologies, and it's new to me. I know that this technology has been around for quite some time. But going into a new chair for someone that has been in a wheelchair all their life is a very difficult process, because my first couple of wheelchairs, or actually all of my wheelchairs, have had sling seats and sling backs. These newer chairs don't come like that anymore. They have hard pan seats. And so over the course of my 55 years, almost 55 years, my hips have grown to sit in a sling seat. So sitting in a hard pan seat with either a, you know, a gel cushion or an air cushion is going to be new to me, and it's going to be uncomfortable at first, but you know, I've got some good physical therapists that have said that they would help me get through that transition period. But I'm just astonished at what these new wheelchairs can do for you and the amount of freedom that they give you to be more reliant on yourself instead of being self-reliant on someone else. So that's one of the technologies that I'm looking at now, and I'm really excited about it, even though I know it's going to be a transition going from one chair to the other. It's not like an able-bodied person that can get up from one chair and go sit down in another chair and be comfortable. We don't have that luxury. So even though it's going to be a challenge, I think it's a challenge that I'm up for, and I'm actually really looking forward to getting the kind of chair that will make my life better. So that's one of the technologies that I'm looking at, and again, I think it's going to be a great thing.
That's great. Yeah, and like you said, it's always a transition when you switch to a new chair, and there's that adjustment period, absolutely, but once you get settled to it, it makes a world of difference. And so, I think about the chairs I've used in my life. I've used Permobil since I was in like second grade. And just what I love about those models is, and other similar ones as well, is that, you know, the ability to recline, tilt back, adjust my footrest. Even though I'm in my chair pretty much all day, that allows for some flexibility. And so I can not be in the same position all day, and that helps tremendously. So,
exactly. And let me state one thing, though, before we go any further. If we mention a brand name like the wheelchair that Kevin mentioned, Permobil or Everson Jennings, we're not sponsored by any of these companies, and we're not endorsing any of these companies. These are just the technologies that we're using and that we can talk about from firsthand experience. So I don't want anybody to think that if we talk about a particular brand that we're being endorsed or we're sponsoring these, okay?
Absolutely. I really appreciate that clarification. Thanks, Michael. Well, Deanne, what about you? I know you've highlighted a lot of assistive technologies in your YouTube channel here at SMA News Today, but what's one item that has really made an impact on your life?
Apart from the wheelchair, which I think tops almost everybody's list, I would have to say that my Open Sesame automatic door opener has kind of opened doors for me, pun intended. I've had it for probably 15 to 20 years now, and it just allows me to be able to go in and out of my home myself. I had it at my parents' house, and then when I moved on my own, we moved it here. And it works with mine has a garage door opener, but you can get different switches depending on your physical ability. And I call it Alexified. I had mine Alexified, so it actually works with the devices, which I thought I muted, but now I heard one in the background. So
no worries.
So that's helps me gain a lot of independence.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think about, it was about 8 years ago. I got a button door opener, that I can get out, so I can get out of the front door by myself. And it's amazing. Just that simple modification there. Whenever I go out to take my dog for a walk or whatever, you know, I can get out by myself. It makes it so much easier. Absolutely. And, I didn't mention I'll probably touch on this later, but like Alexa technology for me has absolutely been phenomenal. And I think that's for in all of us, you know, I mean, whether it's used to turn on lights or just to play podcasts and music and stuff during the day while I work, that is a tremendous source of independence. So that's great. Awesome. Well, when I think about my first, as far as the technology that makes the biggest impact on my life next to my chair, it would have to be my Jayco robotic arm. So I know I'm going to come out with a really big piece right off the bat. But if for anyone who's read my columns or seen any podcast, seen any videos, or might listen to our podcast, I've talked about this device multiple times. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, this is a robotic arm that's mounted to the side of my wheelchair. And I can use it for everything from eating and drinking to picking stuff off the ground. I cannot really put into words how much independence it's given me. I got mine almost 5 years ago, which is really crazy. And yeah, I got it going into my senior year of college, and it's been just a tremendous source of independence. So it lets me, you know, be out on my own, because I don't have to worry about, you know, someone helping me to eat or drink, and it just, you know, I can go to coffee shops or restaurants by myself. And, you know, so there's so many ways it's given me more independence. And, yeah, I can't imagine my life without it right now. Cause you know, the hardest thing was losing some abilities that I used to have. So I used to have, you know, a decent amount of arm and upper body strength, but it started to deteriorate for me when I was about a sophomore in high school. And from then on, it made it a lot harder to just do basic things. And for a while, I was totally dependent on other people, whether it's with family or friends or whatever. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have a strong support system, but the more I can do on my own, the better. So my Jayco robotic arm from Canova Robotics is definitely one of the biggest technologies that has made an impact on my life and made me way more independent.
Hey, Kevin, can I say something about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I know that whenever I saw you at the 2018 Cure SMA conference here in Dallas, you had your Jayco robotic arm, and you showed it to me, and I was fascinated by it. And it's not something that I think I need right now, but it is something that I may be looking at, you know, in the future.
Sure.
And those arms, those Jayco robotic arms are rather expensive. But
yeah. What
I've heard that lately insurance companies are now more agreeable to pick up the cost of these arms. So it's not something that you have to pay for out of pocket as much as you used to, because I think insurance companies are seeing the benefit of these arms. So if you're thinking about getting one of these, it might be prudent to check with your insurance, because you know, if they can pick up the cost, it's going to save you a lot of money.
Absolutely. I'm really glad you brought that up. And yeah, when I got mine, insurance was not covering them because it was such a new item on the market. Like when I got mine, I think there were only about 20 in the U.S. And now it's grown a lot more. And that number has increased a lot. And yes, I have talked with families and individuals who have acquired their arms through insurance. And so I don't know the specifics of that process, but absolutely, I know that is changing. And so, yeah, when I got mine, we did a GoFundMe. We just went straight to crowdfunding, and it worked for us. It was great. I'm very fortunate to have a tremendous support network and a lot of people who are really generous. But yeah, absolutely. If you're thinking about it, first off, you know, hit us up on the forums, because we actually have me and several others who have experience with the Jayco arm. So we'd be happy to help you. And yeah, I would definitely talk with your insurance provider and see if that's an option before looking into crowdfunding or funding it on your own. So absolutely.
I'm actually going through this process right
now. Yeah.
I was kind of along the lines of Michael's thinking that it's not something that I needed. And then I tried out the dynamic arm support from the same company, thinking that would be an option. However, it did not work for me. And so kind of the Jayco is the next level where it would provide more independence for me. I like doing things myself, so I was really resistant to the idea. But then I decided that it actually will allow me to do more myself. Because if I can't do something, I just don't do it.
Yeah.
And so this would allow me to still do some of those things. We have been doing the insurance. Like they said that they were covering it, and then they said they weren't covering it, and now they might cover it. So I am working on that aspect of it right now. And funny to mention, it won't work with my old wheelchair.
Oh, really?
So I either have to start the process of getting a new wheelchair or at least a new joystick to work with it.
Gotcha.
And since my wheelchair is 7 years old, I should probably start that process anyway.
Mine usually have like a 6-year lifespan before I have to start looking for a new one. But yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you guys are lucky because the wheelchair that I'm sitting in now is over 20 years old.
Yeah, we've had this conversation. I don't know how you do it, man, but...
Yeah. You know, now that insurance companies are picking up the cost of these chairs, typically every 5 years, and I'm on Medicare, and
yeah.
So Medicare will purchase a new wheelchair for you. I believe it's every 5 or 6 years now. So hopefully in 5 or 6 years, I'll be looking at getting a new wheelchair instead of trying to make one last 20 years like I have.
Yeah, you might want to go. Yeah, I would say go with the first option there. Well,
replaced it 5 times over in parts, haven't you?
Yeah, the luckily I had 2 chairs because I got one when I worked for one company that was privately insured, and then I got another one when another company merged with us. And their insurance allowed me to get another chair. So I actually had 2 of the same style of chairs, and I used them both. But over the course of time, one of them broke down. So I've been robbing Peter to pay Paul, you might say. If I had a flat tire, I'd take a tire off the old chair. Or I know that my controller failed on me one time. It was a little copper pin, and it broke. Well, they don't make the joystick for this type of chair anymore. And so luckily I had another joystick and I was able to use it. But I'm getting now to where there's not too many more parts that I haven't robbed from that other chair to use. So I'm just hoping that this chair will last me until I get my new one.
Yeah, it should for sure. And also one more quick note about the Jayco arm. I was in a conversation with some people in the SMA community just the other day, and one person asked if, when I got the arm, if it took a while to, and if it was exhausting to try to get used to it, and if it was more exhausting trying to work the arm than it would be to just, you know, be without it. And I said, absolutely no. It was actually a pretty smooth transition when I got it. Similar to when you get a new wheelchair, there is that initial transitional period, but I got used to it very quickly, and now it's basically an extension of my chair or an extension of my body. It's very easy to use, and it's all controlled by the joystick on my chair, and there's switches to switch between different modes on it, so like if you want to move the wrist or the fingers or whatever. But it really was not a tough transition, and you know, I've had accidents here and there with like spilling a drink or whatever, but that's honestly pretty rare, and I got used to it in a pretty timely manner. So that's just something I want to point out if anyone had that concern. But well, before we move on, we have one more word from our sponsor here. So if everyone can just take a listen.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A new treatment has just been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all of the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this new treatment option a reality. To learn more about this new treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
All right. Well, getting back into this, Deanne, why don't you start with what is another piece of technology that's had a big impact on your life and made you more independent?
I know we've touched on this, but the voice activation of like the Echo devices or the Google Homes, things like that have really changed my life a lot. And I use the smart sockets with that so I can turn things off and on. I have some of my light switches connected to it. I have, like I said, my door opener connected to it, my television. So people kind of come into my house and think I'm a little crazy with all my devices, but it makes it a lot easier for me.
Oh, I mean, my room looks like a bat cave, but honestly, I don't know where I'd be without, you know, being able to just turn my TV on, voice activated, like I said, listen to all my music and podcasts during the day, turn on light switches. It's amazing what, you know, Google Home and Echo devices have done for our community specifically and others with disabilities. I know it's, for a lot of people, it's like a convenience. For us, it's really a source of independence, and it's transformational. So, absolutely.
Well, and I know it works for various levels of disability as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know some people who have trouble with their voice, they can trigger it with their phone or other means to do that as well. So, it's kind of for such a wide range of disability.
Yeah, that's a great point. Absolutely.
And if I can make a suggestion is, if you've got one of these Amazon Echo devices or one of these Google Home devices, you need to be careful, because if you have more than one and you accidentally name them the same, that can cause a problem. Yeah. when you ask your Alexa to do something, and not only does it do it, but the other one in your house does the same thing, it can get a little bit unnerving. So luckily, you can set the wake word, meaning the word that you use to activate the device. Unfortunately, there's only 4 wake words that you can use, but, you know, I've got 3 or 4 of these Amazon Echo devices in my house, and so each one is named differently, so I don't activate 2 at the same time.
Right, great point. And yeah, same here. We have several throughout our house and named each one differently, so that's a great point.
If you've got one next to your TV, I would not name it Alexa. I would name it something else, just for the simple fact that they talk about these on TV. And I remember Kevin did a podcast one day where he talked about his, and he talked about how he got frustrated with it, and he kept calling it by name over and over and over. And he did this in the podcast, and I forgot that mine was named the same thing. So mine just went, you know, haywire listening to Kevin's voice.
Right.
So you need to be careful with them, but they are extremely, yeah, extremely helpful.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Michael, that brings us to you. What's another piece of technology that's had a really big impact on your life?
Well, I think one of the biggest technologies that I used was when I graduated from high school, I really wanted to drive. You know, all of my friends were driving. They had specially modified vehicles that had been around for years and years, but none of them were appropriate for me, meaning for my strength level and my range of motion. So I know I was probably 21 or 22 when the technology changed and they developed a system that I could use. And it was a system where you push forward on the steering wheel to accelerate, and you pull back to brake. And it was like zero effort steering. You know, you turn the wheel, I believe you turn the wheel 45 degrees. I think 45 degrees was almost a complete U-turn. It may have been 90 degrees, I think. But it was very, very small movements. And this allowed me to be able to purchase a van. The state paid for the hand controls and the installation. And so it allowed me the freedom to be able to drive myself versus having to have someone drive me somewhere or be dependent on others with regards to their schedule. Because if I wanted to go somewhere and they weren't ready or they weren't available to take me, then I was more dependent on their schedule than I was my own. So having a vehicle that was set up for me to use, that I could go by myself and be more free with regards to my own independence, really opened my life up, because I was able to go to work without someone having to take me and then pick me up. If I wanted to go out to lunch with friends during my working days, you know, I didn't have to have somebody do that for me. I could do it myself. The only bad thing about that was if I wanted to go somewhere, I was pretty much the main driver, meaning, you know, I didn't have another vehicle that I could just jump into and go. So if I had to go somewhere, I had to drive myself. And with the course of my disease, we all know that SMA is a progressive disease. And this was long before Spinraza or long before Zolgensma. So, you know, we didn't have the treatments out there. And so as I got older, my disease progressed to the point to where I was losing arm strength. And nobody told me that it was time to quit driving. But I like to think that I'm a pretty sensible person. And my conscience just told me that I think it's time for you to quit driving. Because if I lost control of the movement in my arm while I was driving, you know, if I had a wreck and killed myself, okay, that's just the chances that you take driving anyway. But if I lost control of the strength in my arm and caused a wreck that resulted in someone else being killed or severely injured, that's something that I would definitely not want. It would be something that I would be upset about, to the fact that it was my own reluctance and my own hard-headedness, and I didn't want that to happen. So probably about 15 years ago, I decided that it was time to quit driving, and now we've got a van where my caregivers drive, and I'm now, again, the passenger. But there's so much technology out there now that you can use in these vehicles that if you're thinking about it, do a lot of research, find the system that's right for you, call your local workforce commission, because they have counselors that are trained in these type of assistive technologies. And they can maybe give you some names and numbers of companies to call to talk about vehicles that you may be able to use yourself. And so, you know, it's just something that if you don't know about them, or if you think that it's out there but you don't know if it's right for you, do a little research. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, because these vans now, or these vehicles now, are getting so much better with regards to the driving technologies that even I think now, even though I'm as weak as I am, I could probably find a system that I could use. I'm not really interested in doing that right now, but, you know, with all these treatments that we have available to us now, some of us are getting a little bit stronger. Our disease progression has slowed down to the point to where, you know, I might actually look into getting another vehicle eventually if I could find the right system. So, you know, driving technology has come such a long way in really such a short amount of time. So that was the technology that I used, and I'm thankful that I had it when I had it, and I'll be thankful again if and when I get to use it.
Absolutely.
And I know there's a... Oh, sorry, Kevin.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention, I know there's a lot of YouTube videos where disabled drivers have used systems to drive. So if you're interested, you know, check into that too, because there are several different systems available. I know driving a vehicle was never in my skill set, so it wasn't something I would pursue. But if you think that it's within yours, go for it.
Yeah. Dan, I'm in the same boat. I mean, it's one thing that I never really could go for, just because like my arm strength and dexterity is severely limited. But I have plenty of friends in the SMA community who drive independently, and it's great. And for me, you know, we have actually two accessible vans, because I have one that's kind of like for me and my friends to use, and it's great because they are trained to drive it. They know how to get the ramp out and everything, and that gives me a ton of independence right there. So. Yeah, there absolutely are a ton of vehicles out there, adaptive vans, that would be great for you. And so absolutely look into them. And yeah, look at YouTube channels and online and connect on forums where people share those experiences. So absolutely. Awesome. Well, thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. And so my other piece of technology that I use is actually more medically related. So in 2010, when I got a bad case of pneumonia, I started using the Vest Airway Clearance System, which this is a device that was originally developed for the cystic fibrosis community and then was later adapted by SMA because, you know, I mean, for many of us in the SMA community, we have a lot of respiratory issues. And so the Vest is basically this machine where you've got like this box machine with a tube connected to it and then a vest connected to that. So the vest wraps around your waist. And basically it vibrates, and the idea there is to get kind of the secretion in your lungs out. And so I use it definitely anytime I'm sick, which thankfully hasn't been for a while, but even when I'm not, I still do it at least a few times a week because it really helps prevent that. And especially during cold and flu season, it helps me be on the defensive mode. And, you know, it's a good precaution to take so that I do not fall into respiratory illnesses and, you know, I can combat any secretion in my lungs. And so that's been really helpful for me. And, you know, it can be a little time consuming because the sessions, a standard session for the vest, it's 20 minutes. But honestly, I actually enjoy doing them. It's really like a form of therapy, kind of like, I mean, it actually feels pretty good and didn't take me a whole lot of time to get used to. And of course, it was extremely helpful for me anytime I was sick. But like I said, even in just normal everyday life, you know, I like to use it. It's very relaxing and I can, you know, listen to music or whatever while I'm on it. And so that's one device I heavily recommend. I strongly recommend, you know, whether you see a pulmonologist or not, you know, it's something I encourage other people in the SMA community to do. Even if you haven't had a history of respiratory issues, like I have personally, but even if you haven't, I think it's a good thing to do just so that you don't have to deal with any of those. So it's a good preventative measure and it's really easy to use. So that's something to talk to a pulmonologist about if you're interested in pursuing. But yeah, the vest airway clearance system has been a big influence on my life, especially in the last decade.
Hey, Kevin, if I can make a comment regarding the vest technology that you're talking about. Probably about 2.5 years ago, I went into the hospital with a severe case of pneumonia. And I was in the hospital for about 5 days, and they did multiple breathing treatments for me or with me so that I could loosen all of these secretions up and hopefully expel them so I wouldn't have any more problems. So after I got out of the hospital, they recommended that I go see a pulmonologist. So I made an appointment with a pulmonologist in the Dallas area, and when I went to see him, he recommended the vest. So we did the paperwork on it for the insurance. They brought one out to me so that I could try it. But unfortunately, the vest didn't work for me because it was extremely cumbersome and very heavy. Now, I know they make different size vests and, you know, they probably could have found one that worked for me. But when I talked to my pulmonologist about these problems, he told me, he said, well, let's go ahead and look at getting you a cough assist. Now, the cough assist that I have has two functionalities that are extremely helpful, especially to those of us with SMA. The first functionality is that it will blow forced air into your lungs, which will open your lungs, including those lower lobes, which is typically where pneumonia starts. Well, the problem is if we can't open our lungs up all the way to expand these lower lobes, we're not going to be able to break these secretions up. So the cough assist will blow enough forced air into your lungs to expand your lungs, including those lower lobes. And by expanding the lower lobes, you break up these secretions. And if you have the ability to cough with enough force, you can get these secretions up. But let's face it, those of us with SMA typically have very weak coughs. So another functionality of the cough assist is that it will remove the air from your lungs with about the same force as an able-bodied person actually coughing. So not only will it expand your lungs, but it will remove the air with enough force to really break up these secretions and help you cough them up. So I've been using my cough assist now for a couple of years, especially when I start feeling congested or if I start feeling tightness in my chest, I'll immediately do these treatments 2 or 3 times a day. And it's kept me out of the hospital. And I know that I've talked to you and Deanne about it as well. And it's kept you guys healthier and probably less visits to the hospital as well, just like me. So not only look at the vest with regards to the technology to help you stay healthy and to keep your lungs clear, but also talk to your pulmonologist about a cough assist, because it's definitely a machine that has kept me out of the hospital and saved me from getting sick.
And I had my cough assist machine updated about a year ago, and a new feature on that is called the oscillation feature, where it kind of pulses the air that goes in and out of your lung. So it's similar to the vest as far as, you know, it kind of helps break that mucus up a little bit more. It's not exactly the same, but it does help in that regard. So there are advances in even that type of technology too. That's pretty cool. So I think it's great to have options, and I think it's either a vest or a cough assist or a combination would be great to look into.
I was going to say, because, yeah, I have both devices, and I think they really work well in conjunction with one another. That's something my pulmonologist recommends, because the vest is kind of designed to loosen that secretion, and then the cough assist helps get it out all the way. So especially in times of sickness, it's really good to use both if you have them. But, yeah, they're both great devices. So yeah, absolutely. Vest and cough assist have been really powerful for me.
I do think it's important, too, to either talk with your pulmonologist or your doctor to find the right settings for you.
Yes, absolutely.
So you know what works for you as well.
Absolutely. Well, moving into the last part here. So, yeah, we were kind of going through, like, three big technologies. So, Deanne, do you have one more big assistive technology in your life?
Actually, I just wanted to mention, don't dismiss old school technology.
Nice.
You might laugh, but one of my top technology pieces, actually two of them, are a yardstick and tape, and as weird as it sounds, a fiberglass arrow shaft with a blunt tip. I just lost the remote for my air conditioner, and that arrow has come in so handy for turning the air conditioner on. My lights that aren't electrified, I use the yardstick for, and it works great. So don't dismiss that old school technology.
That's a great point. You know, and it's amazing what the simplest devices can do for us, you know. Like for me, it's like there's not a lot of handheld ones I can do really anymore because my arm strength is severely limited, but that's where the Jayco arm comes in handy. But absolutely, any little nifty tricks you have, Deanne, I know you've talked about a lot of those in your videos, and that's absolutely, I mean, I think those of us in the SMA community and in the wider disability community tend to be very resourceful, and we can really, it's amazing what we can do with, you know, a stick or something like that. So that's great. Awesome. Well,
I can open a can of pop with a pair of scissors. I guess
right?
You guys call it soda, right?
yeah. It's like I love it though. Yeah. Oh, you do, it works for you. That's great. Awesome. Michael, what about you? What's like your last big piece of technology that you want to talk about today?
Well, it's actually been talked about, and I'll touch on it one more time because I have made a few changes with regards to the Amazon Echo devices. You know, I didn't really know anything about the ability of it to be used for your TV until I was talking to you and Deanne. And y'all said that y'all had one of the Amazon Echo Cube devices. And there's other devices out there that are not Amazon type, but they all do about the same thing. But I've noticed that as I've gotten older, my arm strength and my hand strength is not as good as what it used to be. So holding a remote while I'm in bed became somewhat challenging, you know, because if I dropped the remote or if the remote went dead or, you know, the batteries went dead on it, then, you know, I would either have to call somebody to change the channel or raise the volume up and down or turn the TV on and off. And this Amazon Echo Cube device gives me the ability. The only bad thing about it is my caregiver has a room right next to mine. And she got mine set up for me. And for some reason, one night I heard her in there telling her Amazon Echo to turn the TV on. And I thought, what in the world is she doing? And then I heard her laugh. She opened the door between our bedroom and she said, I'm so used to your Amazon Echo Cube turning your TV on, I did it by accident for my TV. Which I thought was funny. So
this is, I've done that at my mom's house, too.
Yeah.
I've gone there, and I'm like, oh, shoot, her TV doesn't work like mine does.
That's right. We get so used to these technologies that we've got now that we just think it should be available everywhere. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not. But when you do have it set up, it can definitely change your life.
It's like, what is this archaic box that you have to have a remote to turn on? That's crazy.
Exactly.
That's, yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you, Michael. And my last technology that I want to talk about today is my ceiling lift at home. So I know we've talked about Hoyer lifts and electric lifts before, and I've used several different types, but by far the best one and the one that I have now, mainly my parents used to transfer me because my caregivers can still lift me in and out. But the electric ceiling lift, I've done videos on this before, so you can check those out on our YouTube channel. But basically, it's a lift that attaches to like a rail on the ceiling, and then you know, you have your standard sling that you use for transfers, and then when you're transferring, you know, it lifts you up, and then you just slide the lift itself across that rail. So if I'm going to, I have the railing system set up both in my bedroom and in my bathroom. So if I'm transferring to my bed, use that, and then if I'm transferring to my bathroom seat, it's the same method. And so I love the ceiling lift because, A, it saves so much space. It's not the same as, like, having a big, you know, electric lift or Hoyer lift that you have to, that takes up a lot of space and you have to move around. It's great for at home. You know, the downside is that you can't travel with it because it, of course, requires that ceiling setup. But regardless, you know, it is great for setting up at home. So, you know, when I travel, I just have, you know, my caregiver with me to lift me. And, you know, we have other accommodations. But for at home, the ceiling lift works great. So, you know, if you're looking into something like that, that's the lift I would highly recommend. Much more over just the standard. I can't do the standard non-electric Hoyer lifts. They're just, like, too much of a pain. And they're really, I don't think, set up well. So the ceiling lift, I don't know the name of the company that manufactures them off the top of my head. But I know I've posted about it in the forums and in my columns before, so you can look it up. But yeah, so the ceiling lift has been one of the best tools for independence for me, especially in the last few years.
I have to agree with you there. I just got a ceiling lift about probably a year and a half ago. I love it. Some of my caregivers had a hard time transitioning. It just was hard for them to get used to. But anything, if I went back to the pump type lift,
yeah,
they would much prefer the ceiling lift.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it works for both parties extremely well. And like anything else, any of the things we've discussed, like, definitely a transition period and takes time to get used to. But once you do, absolutely. I don't know. I can't imagine anyone saying that they prefer the manual pump one over something like this. So that's just my opinion. But yeah, that's great. So thanks.
And lifts in general are real back savers for the caregivers.
Yeah.
So if you're on the fence about using a lift, I do recommend trying it out for a while.
Sure. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, this was a great discussion. Before we close out, does anyone else have any other technologies they want to talk about real quick?
No, I think I'm okay. I think we've kind of touched on a lot of the technologies that I think will be beneficial for those in the SMA community or anybody that suffers from any kind of a neuromuscular or muscle weakness disease. The ceiling lifts are wonderful. I've had mine for probably 30 years. And when my father got to the point where he was unable to lift me whenever he was alive, it really saved his back and saved him from injuring himself. And so these ceiling lifts are definitely worth the money and the time and the effort that it takes to get one.
Absolutely.
And I just there's technology out there that you hear about that could be helpful. Just try it out. You know, cell phones with touch screens and everything that's come about in the last even 5-10 years is pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And if you have any technologies that you want to talk about with us, you know, feel free to reach out. You know, we have an entire assistive technologies category on our forum, so we would love to talk with you there. So definitely any you're trying out, you want to recommend or give feedback on, you know, hit us up. Well, Deanne, Michael, I want to thank you for being on today. This is a great conversation, and I look forward to many more about subjects like this. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Awesome. And for our listeners out there, You can find more conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also, as I mentioned, connect with us directly on our forums and follow all of our news columns and everything else on our main website. We deliver daily news and perspectives for the SMA community. So thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time. Take care, everyone.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.